Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Special Wednesday edition of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast right here at the Evergreen Podcast Network and WaitingForNextYear.com. It is Matt and Todd with you. The first place Cleveland Guardians finish up a homestand against the unnamed team tonight, and then continue the homestand this weekend, not finish it up, but then get the White Sox Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Todd, here we are, about 40-plus games to go. The team's in first place yet. The lead went from 3 down to 1 in just a matter of a couple of days. Great weekend in Toronto, and nice statement, taking 2 out of 3 from the Blue Jays. But it's crazy to think that this team can beat Kevin Gausman and then a couple days later get manhandled by Garrett Hill. But last night was certainly a crazy game, that's for sure.
I don't know what's going on with Garrett Hill. I feel like they've faced him about three times this year.
Yeah.
And he's been unbelievable against us all three times. We haven't been able to handle it. I don't get it. We do need to get into last night's game. I don't know if you want to do that off the jump or save it to the end, but it's funny. I was texting with Andrew Zellman, P1 listener, last night, and he's like, boy, the tone of your podcast tomorrow morning is certainly going to be a little bit different if we don't finish this one, if we don't win this game. And it's true. I mean, we were really riding high coming into Monday, and then you win Monday's game, only giving up one run, great pitching once again, hit that high watermark of 9 games over, and the bottom fell out in that second half of the doubleheader on Monday with Xavion Curry's major league debut, which we want to touch on, and then last night's absolute debacle and what that all entailed. So, listen, we have how many games? We're 62-55, so that would mean there would be
41, is that right?
Well, 62-55 would be 117, right? I'm terrible at math.
Yeah, that was your job.
162, sorry. 162 minus, whatever, in the 40s. There's that many games left, and the division is essentially separated by one game with three teams. The Twins and White Sox this week have decided to start playing better, and the Royals offered no resistance, and unfortunately, the Astros bullpen, which has been so good all year, has blown 2 games this week to the White Sox in Chicago, and the White Sox now are hot, and they're only a game back. So this is going to be all we ask for, you and I, is meaningful gains in games in September, and here we are, meaningful gains in games in September.
Yeah, I mean, no, that is good, and that is definitely the theme, especially with the youngest team in baseball. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and Breaking Tea t-shirts at BreakingTea.com/dairy. Yeah, I mean, that is nice, but I want to win this thing.
Me too, of course.
We don't bottom out. Like you always say, we don't bottom out. We're not the Pirates. This isn't the Tigers, and I expect to win, and we're in the position to do it. And I don't, look, the Twins have a ton of talent, and they've got some 5-tool big time all stars on their team, including a guy like Byron Buxton. Not that we don't have Jose Ramirez. The White Sox, certainly their lineup is much more behemoth than ours, but my God, I want to win this thing, and I think we can. And the way that they play and how they play the right way and are gritty, and now they're really going with all the kids and everything else, and they seem to be doing things right. And like we said, I mean, the weekend was unreal. And then it's almost like after they won Monday's game one of the doubleheader, Savali pitched well. They scratched across enough runs to win, but then it was like, uh-oh, you know. It's almost like, oh, they're tired again, and they need tomorrow's day off, which they'll get. But first things first, they got to win tonight. And oh, by the way, they got to win the season series against Detroit. I believe it's like 9-9 with one to play.
And you know what? If they miss the playoffs by a game or two, we will come back to those games splitting with this horrible team for the series, for the season. But last night's game, we will also come back to for sure. But yeah, I mean, here, over the weekend in Toronto, I mean, even the game they lost, they probably should have won. They were right there.
Yeah.
Tristan McKenzie was great. He just gave up two solo homers, and you know, they just didn't get enough clutch hitting, and you know, those things happen. But I think the best part of the Toronto series, to be honest with you, was they played in front of 40,000 plus three straight days and had that opportunity to get that playoff type feeling and playoff type atmosphere. That Saturday crowd was, you know, I think it was their third sellout of the year. They've over 44,000. You know, for our guys, especially because McKenzie and Bieber and Quantrill pitched in those three games, who are going to be your three playoff starters should they get to the playoffs? You have
oh, come on. What about Plesac? Come on.
No comments.
He battled last night. He tries so hard.
All right.
That broadcast last night just lathering up Plesac. Oh, he battles. Oh, God. I know the kid does try hard, okay? There's no one that's saying that he doesn't, but my goodness, can we stop shining up a 4.5 ERA already? Man, Zach thought he was out of the inning. That poor guy. He also threw the ball right down the middle to Kerry Carpenter. Jeez.
All right, so let's just get into it, I guess. Let's just go right into it. You know, to finish the thought.
Yeah, please.
Your three playoff starters pitched in 40,000 plus seat stadiums with loud crowds on the road and were all awesome. So I think that's going to serve them well.
It's a very good point. Right. Yes. And let me say one thing about the Toronto fans. I think it was weeks ago or months ago, whenever it was, Mad Dog Russo was on one of those ESPN shows, which I can't keep up with what the names of them are. And
well, just ask Jimmy Trina, he'll tell you.
And he did the whole Cleveland is the best sports fans, or is the best sports city, and all that. And that was cool, you know, to see Cleveland at the top, and Detroit made it, and top five sports cities with fan bases. Sorry, but he left Toronto out. Toronto's number one. It's not even close. Those people go to every Leaf game. The Leafs let them down every year. They pack the Sky Dome or Rogers Center. That place is a dump. You and I have been there. And they love their Raptors. Love them. When the Raptors play in Detroit, it's packed with Toronto fans. So, their broadcasts are top-notch. You got Dan Schulman on the call, and they got 17 different camera angles. Like, Toronto does it right, man. They love their sports up there. So this notion that Cleveland's the best, and hey, we have great fans, don't get me wrong, but we're not number one. Toronto is.
Well, listen,
Toronto is.
Because it's American, because they don't look at Toronto. You know,
they should.
It's a Canadian team.
They got three of the four majors there.
Didn't you and the executive producer and cousin Adam go to
We did,
the opener
92 or 93.
It was 92.
I think
their World Series rings.
I think Cuz and I drove from the Cuse and met the executive producer up there. Yeah, we were there. That was the Mark Whitten hit a bomb in that game.
And Glenn Allen Hill lost one in the lights. He was coming in and the ball got by. He lost in the lights.
Yeah, something like that.
That was good stuff. You know what's funny about that? Probably half of our listeners weren't even born for that game.
I miss hard hitting Mark Whitten. That dude really he hit him hard.
Didn't I send you the YouTube clip of the three homers in one inning against the Yankees in the playoffs? And he hit it right handed off of Andy Pettit and he chucked his bat like all time bat flip.
That was a rare time that we got to Andy Pettit ever. Yeah, that guy usually owned us. You know, okay, but yes, last night was bad. It was bad. It's bad all around.
So let me just say this. Excuse me. So for those who didn't see the game, and if you did, you know what I'm going to say. There were two outs in the inning. It was 0-0 in the first, and I don't even remember who the batter was.
Harold Castro.
Hit a dribbler.
Who we can't get out.
And the ball hit second base and ricocheted to the third base side. And Tyler Freeman, who was playing shortstop, picked it up, threw it home.
Across his body, by the way.
Yeah,
it's a nice play.
And tagged out, Austin Hedges tagged out Javi Baez, and everyone leaves the field. Well, then the inventor of baseball, A.J. Hinch, started complaining, and Alan Porter, who was the third base umpire, who was the same umpire who pulled this exact same move for the Twins against the Orioles, which cost the Twins a game,
yeah,
set for the replay that Hedges was blocking the path for Javi Baez to score. Now, if you see the play, there is no possible way Hedges could have changed his course. Thinking instantly, I have to be 2 inches to my right so I can give him a path to reach the base, which, by the way, he had. He just had to reach around his knee because he had to catch the ball.
Go on a MLB app or whatever and watch the Bally Sports Detroit call and listen to the Tigers announcers, Matt Shepard and Jack Morris, both say, well, Hedges gave him a path to slide. Even they were like, why are they challenging this? There's no chance. It's a total joke. Total joke.
So that happens. The replay is overturned in New York for some God knows why. They get a run, so now it's 1-0 instead of the inning being over. And the next guy comes up, Kerry Carpenter, and Plesexers that meatball that scores for two more. And all of a sudden, it goes from 0-0 to 3-0. And they were playing catch up from that point on, and it was a travesty of justice, as they used to say in the WWF.
Miscarriage of justice.
Oh, sorry. Miscarriage of
That's Gorilla Monsoon right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
And it was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it was garbage.
It affected the game completely. I don't know how they didn't call for a protest of that game. That rule is called, and for those who didn't see it, Austin Hedges' post-game interview with Andre was unreal.
He asked him one question, and he went off on a 2.5-minute tangent and then said, I'm done, and walked away. It was great.
It was great. The long and the short of it was, and you can look it up, Zach Meisel had it on his Twitter, like the whole typed-out version, and basically said, this costs us the game. I don't know what they're doing in New York, but this is something that baseball's been played this way for 150 years, and now a technicality is called like this, and it changes the complete course of the game, and it costs us the game, and we're the ones held accountable when we screw up. How come the umpires are never held accountable? He's totally right, and I know no one likes Austin Hedges with the bat, but the reason why he's on this team is that is right there. He is such a leader. He would do anything for his team. And, listen, it's these things happen. It's in 162 games. But I hate to think about the fact that we could lose out on the division or lose out on the wild card by one game and come back to this and think about this moment. Because it was completely botched by the umpires. And in all fairness, though, the Twins had the same bullshit call called on them. It cost them a game. And I've only seen it happen twice this year. And both times it cost the team the game.
Yeah, but the ours was more egregious. I don't remember who the Twins catcher was. Might have been Jeffers or one of these dudes.
Yes, Ryan Jeffers was what I was going to say.
But Jeffers looked like he blocked the plate. Hedges looked like he was in front of the bag, kind of swiped back to get him. Yes, Baez, maybe. Hedges' left leg was blocking a little bit with Baez's head first slide with his left hand, but there was still a path to get there, and the ball beat him. It was a great play by Freeman. Baez is a boner, and so that was bad. It was, you're right. And then, but again, Plesac can't throw the ball down the middle to Kerry Carpenter. We also can't have the leadoff man on in the ninth in scoring position and not get him in.
Yes.
We're so bunting? Just... Are we really bunting in the last inning to play for a tie against Detroit? Swing the bat.
Okay. So here, before we get to that part, was not Tito's finest hour yesterday, but to your point with Plesac, you got to bear down, man. You can, this is Cary Carpenter. I mean, really? That happened. You've got to take a deep breath, move on to the next play, and
limit the damage. Yes,
exactly. Limit the damage. Instead, he throws a meatball. Now, you know that I am no Zach Plesac fan, and you know I know he works really hard and he's matured and all that. The results on the field aren't showing me that he's that much better. He did pitch really well the last time out. I will give him that. But the big issue that I have had with him throughout this entire season, as you know, is when things go bad, he can't harness it and get that big out. He's the king of nobody's on, two outs, he'll walk a guy, some guy will hit a dribbler, and then the next guy hits a three-run homer. Like, he just seems to... I don't know, the trouble gets to his head, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no,
and that's probably not the right usage of the, you know, right way to phrase it. No, but
I think
just feel like he just can't get that third out when he gets in trouble badly.
No. And he's had a lot of bad luck this year. He's had bad defense behind him. He's had no run support. All right. So those are all factors. Yes. But how much traffic was on the base pass last night? I mean, thank you, Jonathan Scope. I think the guy left 10 guys on base himself. Every inning, it came down to Jonathan Scope with runners on, and he got out of it. But when you allow 11, 12 base runners in 5 1/3 innings, you're probably going to lose. You know, and like you said, Bieber, Quantrill, McKenzie, those have been the horses, and those have been the guys that have delivered. Plesac hasn't, and they squeezed every ounce they could out of this kid. He was not a high draft pick. He didn't pitch in the SEC. He pitched in the MAC. Now, there are plenty of players from the MAC. There's players from, like I said, Anthony Bass. Shit, he's from Wayne State in Detroit. It's, you know, D3 or whatever. So there's plenty of guys in the majors that weren't highly touted. And we hear all the time about, he was a 25th round draft pick. Okay, that's cool. But Plesac's stuff just isn't that great. And his fastball is average to below average. So, like, they pounce on it sometimes. And they've done a great job with him to get him to this point where he's been a solid major league starter. But on a team trying to vie for first place, when he's allowing all this traffic and, like you said, serving up bombs to 4A players, it's not going to help.
Right, it wasn't like Javi Baez got him or even Miggy for that matter. You know, Cary Carpenter, come on, man.
Oh, that's the new hot. That's the new hotness here for the Detroit media. They love that. Oh yeah.
Well, and so then, you know, the other issue that comes up is they just couldn't score against Garrett Hill, and you know you get a leadoff triple followed by a single in the eighth inning, and you're like, all right, we're in business. And then Jose Ramirez didn't even score after that. After the triple, single, nothing, and then you get to the ninth inning. Like you discussed, Tyler Freeman, leadoff double. And I come back to this again, and this is the problem with what's going on with the offense. When it sputters, it's always the same. It's that 8-9 spot in the lineup comes around in big spots and just never comes through. Mainley's actually been pretty decent lately.
Yeah, yes.
I think he's got like a 6 or 7 game hitting streak going. He hit a homer the other night when I was there in the doubleheader loss. But it just always seems to come down to the 8-9 spots. And Miles Straw is sitting there at the bottom of the order. The guy can't hit. It's a serious problem. He has to play, but he can't hit. And, you know, I know a lot of people want him out of the lineup. We need Will Benson at center field.
No.
The other night when I was there, there was a fly ball hit between center and left, Kwan and Benson. They're coming, and both of them looked at each other, and the ball dropped. And a run scored, and I said to Brooke, who was with me at the game, you want to know why Miles Straw plays every day? That's why. Because Miles Straw makes that play, and Kwan gets out of the way. You know, so there's that. But it comes around last night, and Freeman hits that leadoff double, and Hedges comes up. And again, I think the situation may have been different. I'm going to say that if Gregory Soto, the Twins closer, was right-handed, there's a different situation there. Because maybe he sends up Nolan Jones to pinch hit, who was on the bench, or Will Benson to pinch hit, but instead he sends Hedges up there to bunt. Now, we both know, and listeners of this podcast know, how much I loathe bunting. Bunting is for losers. You have three chances to get a single. Hedges is a major league bat. He could hit a ball to the ground ball to the right side and move him over.
He hit a fly ball to the right side two innings earlier and move Freeman over when we scored our second run.
Let him swing the bat.
Right.
Giving up an out to a guy, Soto, who puts a lot of base runners on, is notoriously wild. Yes, he throws hard, but notoriously wild. To give up an out to get to Miles Straw.
Big mistake.
Who can't hit.
And a lefty and a left-handed hitter in Kwan in the on-deck circle or in the hole. And look, Steven's amazing, all right? He's been dominant this year. He's Stephen Kwan, doesn't matter right or left, but again, that's tough if you don't get him in with Straw to rely on a left-handed bat who's a rookie in that spot against an all-star closer. And that's, look, Soto's not second coming of Randy Myers here, but my gosh.
Randy Myers.
That's the first lefty closer that came into my head.
That's pretty good.
Wasn't he on the Nasty Boys?
What about Aroldis Chapman, the wife beater? What about Norm Charlton? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Who was the?
No, but
who
you're was totally
the, oh,
right.
Taylor Rogers is left-handed, but I don't even know if he's closing. I don't even know what team he's on anymore.
He was traded from the. He was in that trade. The Padres. When they got the, he's on the Brewers to the Padres. He's on the Padres.
Oh, he's on the no. He's on the
right?
Brewers
no.
now. He's on the Brewers.
He's on
now.
The, sorry, he's on the.
That's
Brewers
right. That's
but
right.
Here, one last thing about Miles Straw. He actually hits right-handed pitching. Better than left-handed pitching, not much better, but you know it's you know lately. So in the meantime, you look up at Straw, and here we are in August. He's 4-for-43 this month.
Oh my God!
That's right.
I thought he got out of the slump
three
a little
singles,
bit.
Three singles and a double. He's 4-for-43.
Yeah, not
that's,
good.
That's 0-93.
And by the way, he did strike out last night. He did tip it. Barnhart did catch it. I get that Tito had to go out there because the home plate umpire waved his arms like, no, foul ball will stay in here. And he was adamant about it. Then he went and got help, and 5 minutes later they called him out. That's why Tito got tossed and why Straw got tossed.
Yep.
Yeah, he did strike out.
Reasons for Tito to get tossed yesterday, that was not the one.
No, but he was fed up. He had enough.
You could tell. He went out there to get tossed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For sure, but the point is you're bunting to get to a guy who's four for his last 43, and hasn't hit essentially since April. I mean, you go month to month here. In May he hit 178 with a 508 OPS. In June he hit 149 with a 412 OPS. July was the month that he picked it up a little bit, 278, 678. But the last. You know, month of August, he's 4-for-43, and you can't bunt to get to a guy who, you know, doesn't hit.
No. And you're not pinch hitting Benson or Jones
like
there.
Lefty with two rookies on a guy who's throwing
right.
you know, 100 miles per hour.
By the way, speaking of Nolan Jones, are they giving him any extra reps at first base before the game? Like, shouldn't he be playing first base when Naylor can't, not Owen Miller? I mean, God bless Owen Miller. He's fine. He's probably a utility guy at best. He'd play a couple days a week, but it seems like every day he's in there. And talk about a guy not delivering. I think his OPS is as low as anybody's. I think it's now dipped below 600. I think it's dipped below 650. And, you know, everybody else's OPS kind of in the sevens and eights for our really good players. And his is dropping late. I mean, he does not drive the baseball. He had a couple of good at-bats in Toronto, but, geez, why does he play every day?
I saw, and I believe it was by weighted runs created, WRC+. I believe...
What are you, TJ Zuppi?
Owen Miller. No, I believe Owen Miller is one of the 20 worst hitters in baseball. And I think Straw's in there too. I think that was the number. I do not understand the infatuation with playing this guy this much. Last night, another situation happened where it didn't come back to bite them, but a great play by Straw in the outfield. It was a shallow fly ball, and he held up his glove like this one's going to drop, like he was going to fake like it was going to drop. And he caught it, and Javi Baez, of course, fell for it because Javi Baez is a clown. And Straw catches it, fires a dart to first base, and Owen drops the ball again. He can't play the field. Stop playing him at first base. It's not like, okay, he's hitting really well. We got to find a place for him in the lineup. So I understand.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He's terrible.
He's not a first baseman. Like that. He actually makes some decent plays at second. I don't think he's terrible there. And he could play third if you need him to. So that's good. But like first base, I'm always scared when the ball is thrown over there that he's just going to drop it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Will Benson was playing first base in AAA for a while. They'd started playing him at first base.
Yes.
I know that happened. And I know that at points last season, they had tried Nolan Jones at first base. And I know they want Nolan Jones to play the outfield and DH and whatever. But these guys, and I made this argument. People are like, you want to put Nolan Jones out there? He barely played. It's not like Owen Miller's fucking Gold Glover over there. Jesus, I'd rather have Brooke playing first base. I mean, it's ridiculous. And again, you go back April, the guy was on fire. He was hitting. It was great. But ever since then, it has been nothing. I mean, he's in August, he's 8-for-40. In July, he was 18-for-70, 257 with a 640 OPS. In June, he hit 191 with a 513 OPS. This guy's not good. And he hit cleanup the other day also, which...
I know.
What are we doing here?
I know. No, you got to have Jimenez. Jimenez has got to be hitting fourth. Naylor's got to be hitting fourth. And I know Josh is battling. I mean, the ankle, yeah. The back, the foot. You could just tell. He's brittle right now. You know, this is almost like a December NFL player. Everybody's got an injury. Everybody's hurt. Yeah. And he's battling. And they took him out of the lineup yesterday and let him rest. Then he pinch hit late in the game.
Andre said on the broadcast last night that anytime he feels any, because he's still less than a year away or, you know, a year from that major basically reconstructing of his leg surgery, that anytime he's feeling it in his leg, they don't want to take any chances. So they sit him, which is totally fine. I get that.
Right, right. And you know, and especially
you gotta,
him.
You gotta protect your...
Yeah, and he had to play this weekend up in Toronto where it's concrete you're playing on, you know?
And it's right, and he had his whole family there, so for sure he wanted to play in all three games, and I get that. But when you're... You know, when he's gone and Owen Miller's out there who's not hitting and can't field, it's a real – and even, like, when you watch him play, like, first base when he's catching a ball, like, reaching for a throw, he just, like – it's like he's turned the wrong way. He can't stretch very far. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
He's young. He's trying, but he's not a first baseman. He's not a first baseman. And we need to win these games. And if he's not going to hit, you know – You already know you're giving up defensively. It's tough.
But what I don't understand, and I know it's still early, but I'd like to see more Tyler Freeman and less Owen Miller. I mean, what they played Ernie Clement at first. This is the other thing that it goes to. You know, they're like, oh, we can't play Nolan Jones and Will Benson. They haven't played first base at all. Tito started Ernie over there a few times, and he played him like in, you know, for defensive purposes.
Yeah, he loves Ernie.
You don't think Tyler Freeman could play first base?
He might be able to. He might have to. You never know. You never know. It was last night. I mean, he had some really good at-bats last night. The 10-pitch at-bat against Axel Foley, that was good. And then the ninth inning, you know, he jumped on that pitch from Soto. It was beautiful. I love Mitch Short. I love Mitch Short.
Me too.
I love his range.
Me too.
It's pretty good. But, yeah, last night was certainly frustrating. But, again, it didn't just come down to that one play in the first inning. I mean, can't strand all those runners. And it's Garrett Hill out here, for God's sake. It's not like they were – it wasn't Verlander last night, you know. So, it's frustrating, but again, they're right there. I mean, they are in first place right now. It's a game, you know, you got to win tonight with Detroit, and then this weekend, the White Sox, and we'll get you the pitching matchups in a second, but the Guardians have played pretty well against Chicago this year. It has to continue. You know, it does.
Yes.
So
I'll tell you another thing that is important that we need to start paying attention to is the tiebreakers. There is no game 163 anymore. They've done away with that. So
that's
the way
right.
The playoffs are working.
I see you working.
The Yankees and the Astros are running away with the 1 and 2 seeds, which will be byes. There's 3 wild card teams and the AL Central division winner, basically. So it's going to be the AL Central division winner against the lowest wild card seed, and you get a 3-game home series for all 3 games.
Correct.
And then the other 2 wild cards, the higher one plays the lower one.
And you'll be at all 3 games. Whee!
I can't. So anyway, so it comes down to when it comes if you have the tied record with a certain team, so you go to head to head is the number one tiebreaker. So the Guardians own the tiebreaker, for example, against the Blue Jays. After winning this last series, they won the season series from
five to two, which
could turn out to be absolutely huge because if they're the two, you know, the 2 and the 3 wild card, you're hosting that team. Or if you're tied for the last wild card spot, you're in, which is great. You know, so it's very important to be watching that. And right now, I believe we are pre-even. I think we're tied with the Twins with the last 5 games, I think there's like 9 left with the Twins. And I want to say they're 5-5. I might be wrong. I could be totally making that up. I know they have a winning record against the White Sox. I know that they have a winning record against the Blue Jays. Tampa, they took that series in Tampa. They have 1 more series with Tampa, so they, as of right now, hold that tiebreaker too. So these are important things to watch. And speaking of Toronto, you know, they went up there this weekend and did not have ace setup man number 99 available. And if they were to play the Blue Jays in the playoffs, I mean – someone better get that vaccine in 99's arm because we're going to need them.
Get the jab.
That bullpen right,
hey man.
Right now, that bullpen needs him badly. He's been great.
Yes.
As much as I loathe him personally, he's been unbelievable out there, and they need him because the guy who was basically him earlier in the year, Eli Morgan, has gone from indispensable to unusable in the blink of an eye. I'm at the point where I would send him to the minors.
I'm not there yet. I mean, okay, if you send Eli Morgan to the minors, who are you bringing up?
Well, there's one arm that has to be added to the 40-man roster. He's on the 60-day IL, and he's rehabbing in Columbus, and he's a starting pitcher, but he's not going to be – he hasn't been starting. He's been pitching 3 innings at a time in Columbus, and that's Cody Morris, who – would have been starter number 6 all year had he not been hurt. I wouldn't be stunned. He has to be added. It wouldn't stun me if Eli went down and Cody Morris came up and they were like, all right, here is the new starting pitcher who's going to be a reliever, just like Eli. He throws way harder. And this was the guy who would have seen the majors by now had he not been injured. I think that's the move to make.
You know, that's a very good point. And he was almost primed and ready for the majors before an early season injury. Cody Morris, for sure. You know, it'd be cool if Morris pitched after Plesac, and then it would be Zach and Cody. You ever watch that show?
That
went right over your head.
Zach and Cody?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it.
What was it, like those two kids? Wasn't it like the Adventures of Zach and Cody or something?
Yeah. You know, I think your kids were probably...
My daughter loved it. Yeah, she loved it. Loved that show.
My kids were too young for that.
Probably 10 years ago. Anyway, but no, I think that...
Not longer than that. What are you talking about? That was like 15 years ago.
Well, she's 17. Yeah, I don't know about that. But regardless, yes, I'm not ready to send Eli Morgan down. He needs to get in a low-leverage spot and have some success. He needs one inning of just a clean inning here. I mean, my gosh, every time he's been out, it's been home run city here. It's not like he's given up bloopers. I mean, he's
unusable.
Right now, but Nick Sandlin was unusable a month ago. And all of a sudden, I mean, last night he was filthy.
Okay, that's a good point. But you know what Nick Sandlin did do? He was sent to the minors and figured it out. And he came back. And Sandlin looked really good last night. But the you know, I was at the game Tuesday when Owen came in and gave up the back-to-back homers. Eli gave up the back-to-back homers. You know, I go back to this. Earlier in the last week, they brought in Eli in the tie game. They brought in Eli up 5-0 in the ninth inning. And this was the game against the Tigers. It was a week ago.
5-0, right, 5-0, yeah.
It was 5-0. They brought in Eli. They're like, it's 5-0. We're not, you know, let's get him some mop-up duty. And he loaded the bases and gave up a run, and they had to go to Class A.
Just to finish the game off.
For the fourth time in 5 days. And, you know, you need Manny to be as fresh as possible. He needed a day off. But when you're putting your bullpen in that position because one guy, you know, I mean, it's the same thing with Shaw, you know, like.
What about when Shaw finishing off the Detroit game in extra innings because we didn't have any pitchers left was priceless.
But that was awesome. That. You had no they
nobody
had no issues
nobody
for Eli, and it was right after Eli had given was terrible the day before.
Right, so, and Class A and Karinchak were not available, so Shaw closes the game out on the road with a strikeout. That nonetheless, that was awesome.
That was pretty funny. But yeah, the point of this is there is an
the
arm.
Point it is. They have,
the point it is. That's right. How about the point? Hey, that's a really nice jacket. You know, here's what I'll say. I don't know how long Eli's struggles will last, but
if you're not a Fast Times at Ridgemont High fan, then you don't get any of this. So we're sorry.
And I like listen. That's podcast for one there.
Three.
But in all seriousness, I think Cody. I think Cody Morris is going to get a shot, and I think Eli will go down. We've talked about this a lot this season. There's nobody in AAA that's on the 40-man roster or worth a 40-man spot right now that you're going to bring up, in especially this late in the season.
No.
Can trust. I mean, like, you know, they had that Jake Jewell kid was up here for 5 seconds.
And not even a kid. Pitched. Right, right, yeah.
Yeah, but my point is there's no, like, there is no, the like, when 99 first came up, remember he was dominant in AA and dominant in AAA, and they're like, all right, let's bring him up at the end of the year. There's nothing like that down there.
Right. The closest thing to it is definitely Cody Morris. I agree. Do you remember a few years ago, was it, I don't remember what year it was, 17 or 18 maybe, when they brought up Percy Garner? Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was 16.
16 it was?
Yeah.
And like he pitched in September.
Don't you remember the story about how he... Yeah. Don't you remember the story about that Zach Mizell wrote a story about the pitchers in the bullpen and where they were, and that Percy didn't make it to the playoff roster, so he was watching the game on delay on his like Xbox or something. You don't remember that story?
I don't. No.
Yeah, it was 2016, Percy Garner, and he was supposed to be like, you know, he was going to be the guy, and then he never made it. It was sad.
Yeah, I haven't read Mizell in years. I wouldn't know. No, I'm just kidding. I actually blew him off. You know, I was out of town and he was in town, and I did see on his Twitter feed while I was on vacation that he made a stop at his favorite joint in Detroit, Slow's Barbecue. Oh yeah. So yeah. I do owe him Union Wood Shop, which is superior barbecue in our fine Southeast Michigan area, but that'll have to wait until next year, or unless somehow Cleveland and Detroit meet in the playoffs, which I don't think is happening. But
yeah,
but it's like, I just remember when Garner came up and he pitched so well in September. It's like, wait a minute, this guy could be on the playoff roster. And then they made the decision not to put him on. But that's kind of this same situation. This has happened before where a September flash has come up for the pen when you do they even expand the rosters anymore? Like back then? I don't think they do.
I was. You talk while I look that up.
I don't think they do.
They do. They definitely don't go to 40 anymore.
No, 28
or something.
I don't. Yeah. But
those games would take forever. Roster expansion MLB 2022. Okay, it says the number will increase to 29 players for any doubleheader played through the final day of the season. Rosters will expand on September 1st when all teams must carry 28 players on the active roster.
All right, so a couple guys.
Really just getting...
You're bringing up a couple, yeah. That's it.
Three for double headers, yeah.
Matt and Todd...
Here, hold on,
I got to... Let me do this read, but go ahead.
What I was going to say was guaranteed one of those two extra men will be Ernie Clement.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Tito can live without him any much longer.
I did look at the Toledo box score against Columbus last night just for shits and giggles, and Gabe Arias is on fire. He's been hitting well. He had a three-run double last night off of Michael Pineda. And I was looking at just, like, who pitched? Oh, gosh, who pitched last night for Columbus? I don't even remember now. But
Tanner Tully.
What's that?
Tanner Tully. I was just throwing a name.
No, I know I saw like Mikalajak and Enright and those guys. I forgot who started. Oh, it was Pilkington. He went five innings. He gave up three earned runs.
Pilkington went five and gave up three runs? I'm stunned.
With three walks and five Ks.
He's never done that before.
I know. BreakingT.com, folks, get your Guardians gear for the postseason, hopefully. New Andrés Giménez shirt is out. It says Captain Clutch. It's got a sweet picture of Andrés swinging a bat with a red jersey on and his autograph on it. Blue T-shirt. Go to BreakingT.com/Derry, D-E-R-Y. Takes you right to the Cleveland Collection where you can get the In Tito We Trust shirt, the Andrés Giménez Night Night shirt. If you're a huge Jose Ramirez fan and you just don't want the normal 11 Ramirez on the back shirt, you want to get something cooler, check out all the stuff at Breaking Tee. If you're a Browns fan, Cavs, whatever, any team that you like, maybe now that Sean Watson is here, you have a new favorite football team, well, get the gear at BreakingTee.com. Just go to BreakingTee.com/Derry, though. That'll take you right to the Cleveland Collection. We appreciate them for being great subscribers of the Derry Brothers Guardians cast right here on the Evergreen Podcast Network and our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com. Shout out to Joe. We always send Joe the pod, Craig Lindell, and all the crew over there at WFNY that do such great work in covering all of the teams. All right, what were you going to say? What do you got now? Did you look up anything good?
It was the Ernie point. Let's get into the pitching matchups and get up on out of here.
What time is it? I don't even know. All right, so...
It's early in the morning. It's time for me to eat breakfast, so let's go.
breakfast. There you go.
I'm hungry.
I got one of these Built Bars over here somewhere.
Still with the Built Bars? You know, the executive producer and
I... It's a good bit.
By the way, before we do this, the executive producer and I and Brooke went yesterday to Pittsburgh for our good friend Doug, his father, who passed away. We went to the funeral, and it was unbelievable celebration of his life, and to watch, you know, grown adult children and then the grandchildren talk about, you know, their father and grandfather with such, you know, unbelievable passion. And it was unbelievable. It was a great thing. I wish you could have made it, but yeah, I just wanted to say that. But the executive producer had lots of talks on the way home and discussing what we're going to do for the postseason if we get there and you know, things that may be in the way, if you know what I mean. So we're all handling it. But it, none of this is going to matter if the team doesn't play well down the stretch, and as you're about to tell us, for the rest of the week. And then into next week, we got a real tough stretch coming up. So big games coming up this weekend. That's
yeah,
for sure.
No, they are, and they start tonight. It's a night game, even though it's a getaway day because it's a day off on Thursday. And you're going to see more days off now, finally, which is good because this team seems like they play like 11 games in 10 days and all the doubleheaders. But Tonight, Cal Quantrill, who's really delivered, and boy, was he fantastic last week going back home to Canada, you know, where his dad played. It was pretty cool there at the Sky Dome and Rogers Center. By the way, when Josh Naylor hit that home run and Underwood went, the Mississauga Masher. It's like, did you write that one down, Chief? Jeez. Sorry.
Okay?
I'm losing it.
Oh, wait. So the whole point of this conversation was that the executive producer is off Built Bars. Doesn't like them anymore.
And he's got to get the Built Puffs, the marshmallow treats. They're only 160 calories.
You know, I never liked this consistency. I'm a one bar guy.
What about your wife? Didn't she try them? She didn't mind them, right?
The missus, she liked them, and then the same thing happened. It's just the consistency got to her. So she's off.
Yeah, great.
She's off.
Yeah, go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. No appearance, by the way, by me on Hard Knocks last night. For those that were interested,
yes, congrats,
cousin Matt, one of our P1 listeners here, out on the West Coast. He heard me on Hard Knocks on the first episode. For those of you that don't know, I host a Lions podcast every day called Locked on Lions, and they use my voice on the first Hard Knocks. But last night, because I've been gone, I did not make an appearance. But the show was still pretty good. I don't know how they're
the chagrin of the lockdown people that you were not available last week.
Much to the chagrin of me as well, from a wallet standpoint. All right, so anyway, I digress. Tonight, big night tonight. Big night tonight.
You got it.
Cal Quantrill against Daniel Norris. He's back with the Tigers.
You know what this means, by the way. Daniel Norris, left-hander. You'll be seeing Owen in the lineup.
Yeah, boy. And then this weekend, three right-handers. Friday night, Tristan McKenzie against Lance Lynn. Remember, the White Sox play Thursday afternoon against Houston and then have to turn right around and play where we have a day off. McKenzie and Lynn Friday, Bieber and Cueto, who's pitched very well for them, Saturday. And then Sunday, Peacock at noon, Aaron Civale against Sox ace Dylan Cease. Who's really he's good. Dylan Cease is real good. He is good.
And Johnny Cueto pitched 8 scoreless innings the other night against Houston.
Yeah, Monday night.
So he's pitching really well.
He is. Yeah. And they found a little clutch hitting last night. Was it Gavin Sheets delivering against the Astro bullpen, which all of a sudden has been leaky the last 2 days? And look, here's what happened. Everybody's been calling out the White Sox for not having any heart and not having any grit. And all this stuff. And I think it was Andrew Vaughn the other night said after one of their games, like, we got hard. I don't know what people are talking about. So they're kind of rallying. Did you see that video clip where La Russa's on the top step of the dugout and the fans in the front row going,
oh my God.
Hey, La Russa, pinch run angle, pinch run angle. So he called, La Russa walks on the field, calls timeout, and pinch runs angle.
If I'm Jerry Reinsdorf and I see that video, that's fireable. The fact that you have to have a fan point that out to you.
It was great.
That old coot. Fuck him.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious.
So I will be there Sunday. I'm looking forward to the Dylan Cease, Aaron Civale matchup. And then, you know, they got that day off. They finally get a day off Monday, which is good. But the road trip next week, which we'll talk about next Monday, is just brutal. You got to go to San Diego for 2 and then Seattle for 4. Which is going to is playing as good a ball as anybody in baseball right now. So it's that's going to be we're heading into a really tough stretch starting this weekend because you got 3 with the Sox, 2 with San Diego, 4 with Seattle, 3 with Baltimore, who's very good, and 3 with Seattle again over Labor Day weekend. So,
well, look, this team showed that they could beat good teams when they went into Toronto and took 2 out of 3. I like Quantrill getting the opportunity next week to pitch in San Diego against the team that dumped him.
Yep.
I like that. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But all right, my friend, great recap. Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, we apologize for the Wednesday recording, but somebody was out of town and, you know, on vacation.
Somebody's flights were canceled. And
yeah, man.
And all that.
Yeah, man is right. So we are out of room and out of here.
Hey! Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcasts.